It's a beautiful song. I enjoyed that song. Yet not I, but Christ in me. Let's all stand this morning. Take your Bible, if you would. I want you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Now, when I come to the 7th chapter of Matthew, you know that this is the Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 are in your Bible. If you have a red letter edition, they're all red because Jesus is speaking. And he finishes up that sermon and he's on the Mount. In chapter 7, he gives us maybe some of the most dire words in all of Scripture. Words that ought to really hit home. I believe they ought to be preached more often in churches than they are. And yet we sometimes shy away from preaching these things. And so I want you to look at chapter 7 of Matthew, and I want you to go to verse 21. Okay, verse 21. Jesus tells us here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." I'll just take that thought. Not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," is going to enter into heaven. It's a shocker. It's a shocking statement. Okay? But let's see what follows. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Okay, so we see a qualification. Only those that are going to enter into heaven are those that do the will of the Father. Okay? Now he gives us some examples. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Jesus is saying there's going to be those in that day that will have this testimony. They've preached. They've cast out demons. They've done works that were called great things in spiritual people's eyes. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now the house is our lives. What do we build our lives upon? Do we build it upon the rock, and that rock is Christ? Or do we build it upon sand? No stable foundation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time, the privilege of worship, the privilege of coming and partaking of a communion that pictures Christ. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the day, Lord, that we have this opportunity to pray. I thank you for your words this morning, Lord, convicting words. Maybe those words would grasp a hold of someone maybe in this room who has the who does not have the assurance of salvation. Father, I thank you and praise you and ask that you might bless your word in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. What we read here in this portion of scripture that Jesus gives to us is confession without conversion. Confession without conversion. And quite frankly, it is a warning. It's a warning portion of scripture he gives to his disciples and to those seated on the mount that day and to us here this morning. I believe there are times in people's lives and many in churches, seated in churches at this present time around the world that have the assumption of salvation without the assurance of it. I really believe that. We can assume, and many people do, that they're okay. Obviously, these individuals that Jesus was talking about thought they were okay. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and have a testimony of things, of being a preacher and being those that have cast out demons and those that have done great things, visited hospitals and did and all of that. But the key to that is verse 23. I never knew you. I never knew you. It was all below the line of what is spirituality. Notice it's not once I knew you and now I don't. It's I never knew you. I never knew you at all. Not even from the foundation of the world that I know you. You know, I'm going to tell you this right now. If you're a Christian here this morning, your name has been written down in God's book of life, the Lamb's book of life, before the foundation of this world. Before he ever created this world, he wrote your name down in his Lamb's book of life. If you're a Christian. Notice this morning, it's not a no-so salvation that gets us there. It's an absolute reality. I know. I've oftentimes asked people, are you going to heaven? Are you going to heaven when you die? And invariably, I hear the same thing over and over and over again. I hope so. You know, that's my pet peeve. I have a pet peeve about, I hope so. I'm glad my hope isn't a hope so, hope salvation. It's a no so. You look at 1 John chapter 5, he says, these things have I written down to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Raise your hand if you know where you're going. Don't raise it up if you don't know. Don't presume. We find here that many presumed they were going to heaven and found out. Isn't it very, very sad to find out on that day when they stand before God that they thought they were, and now they find they're not? Three things this morning I want to give us, the catastrophes this morning. Three catastrophes, I believe. Number one, the catastrophe of empty believism. Empty believism. A superficial faith. Obviously, he gives us the illustration there of no foundation in one's life. Life is built upon the sands, the sinking sands, the shifting sands of life. No foundation, no substance, no endurance. One of my great reads in the scripture is the book of Hebrews. It talks about perseverance, staying the course, staying in Christ, moving with him. Moving on, staying, knowing, working, investing one's life. Now, I'm going to be honest this morning. I was seated at home and I was thinking about this. And the thing that kind of came to me is, you know, how many people today sitting in churches are starving to death? Starving to death. You'd say, starving to death? I think we're all growing. But I'm talking about spiritual starvation. If you this morning, and I'm going to be very, very, very specific to you today, you call yourself a Christian. I saw we all raised our hands this morning. But if you have gone all week and you have not opened God's Word one single time and partaken of what the scripture calls is spiritual life, you are starving yourself. Now, if you haven't, how long can you live without eating? Now, some of us could probably live a little longer than some of the rest of us about without eating. But I'm going to be honest. Yeah. The same thing is true of spiritual food. If you call yourself a Christian this morning and you've gone all week or you've even gone a month without reading or partaking of God's word, shame on you. You are probably dead. Say dead? What do you mean dead? You have starved to death already. You starved to death. There is a catastrophe of empty believism. Empty believism. A head knowledge. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. A head knowledge. But it hasn't descended about 18 inches to the heart. And I'm going to tell us, a head knowledge won't get you into heaven. Lord, Lord, haven't we've done all of these things. That's the head knowledge. It takes a heart knowledge. It's one thing to call Jesus Lord. It's another thing to crown him Lord in our lives. I'm going to get a little bit off on this, but I'm going to say something. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews. This is a chapter 10 that I think has always baffled me to a large degree. And I'll be honest with you. Hebrews chapter number 10. Okay? Hebrews chapter number 10. Now, I'm not talking necessarily to you that are here today. Hebrews chapter number 10. It's right before the book of James, so if you go to James, you've gone too far. But Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 24. That's where I want to start. Now, this is written to believers. Believers, Christians, you and I, who name the name of Christ. All right? Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Okay, what is that? He says, to provoke. When you provoke something, you prod it forward or you irritate it to the point, you know. Not forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, you know someone who doesn't go to church, calls themselves a Christian, start provoking them in love, in love. But that's not the point that I'm getting at here. It's what follows. For if we sin willfully after we've come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, there's only one sacrifice for sin that will ever be given, and that's the salvation that comes through the blood of the cross of Christ. That's all. That's the only sacrifice for sin that will ever work. Okay? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Now, judgment. And fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And here's the key. For how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance is mine, or vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And the next verse is a verse that I think we all ought to take heed. It's spoken to believers. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Listen, James tells us, for him who knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Some here this morning, some in other churches, I'm sure, some will say, I think I'm headed for heaven. It's an assumption without a possession. And the life lesson here is, what is your life's foundation this morning? What have you built your life upon? What do you want to build your life upon? We find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 that in the spiritual realm, we can build our lives out of 6 different substances. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Wood, hay, and stubble. We find there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 that one of these days all of our good works are going to be made known, for fire shall reveal them. Now let me ask you a question. What's going to burn up? Wood, hay, and stubble? Or gold, silver, and precious stones? They remain. This individual comes, Lord, we've done all of these things. A catastrophe of empty believism. And Jesus uses these two men, and you've heard it since you were little kids, the wise man and the foolish man. And yet it's true. Can we say this morning in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Can we say that this morning? I trust you can. Because those words have sustained me so many, many times. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I put my life and trust in, and he's able to keep me. This morning, there's coming a day that all will stand before God. We know that. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that. Every knee's going to bow. I look for the privilege one day of bowing before my Lord and Savior. And I hope you do too. Bowing before my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We find that in the book of Revelation. Where the burning ones, those 4 burning ones and the 24 elders gathered around the throne of God will fall down and worship him. Worship Christ. So that first catastrophe is empty believism. Empty believism. I'm going to give us four words there about empty believism. They all start with the letter R. Repentance. Every one of us, we don't hear that preached too much anymore. You got to repent. You got to turn. Repentance is 180 degrees in our lives. Now, if you're here this morning and you haven't read your Bible in maybe 1 or 2 weeks or maybe three, maybe the only spiritual food that you're getting is when you come for 1 hour on Sunday, you're starving yourself to death. It's not what God wants for you. And repentance is a 180-degree turn. We can turn. It's believing what God said about our lives. The second one is regeneration. He takes that which we do, turning 180 degrees, and he regenerates this whole life. He will do that for us. He reconciles us to himself. Over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and we sang that song this morning, we're new creations in Christ Jesus. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then the last one is redemption. Redemption. A change of eternity. Redeemed, purchased, and headed for eternity. See, here's the problem this morning with easy believism. This morning, we're a whole lot worse than we think we are. If we could see ourselves as God sees us, we think, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. Any of you have any bad thoughts this week about anything? We do, don't we? We do. It's the catastrophe of empty believism. Lord, Lord, in thy name have I done all these things, and yet it was just a head knowledge without a heart. Romans 10 tells us that with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart one believes. Point number two, the catastrophe of embellished works. Building up this just individual here in Matthew 7, he thought he was doing great things. He was said, Lord, I did all of these things. I preached in your name. I wonder today how many preachers standing before God one day will find out that what they said didn't amount to anything. Look what we've done, God, for you. We've spoken into your name. We've been a preacher for years and years and years, maybe too many years. We've been a Sunday school teacher. We've been a deacon. We've been church leaders. We've gone to church so many years. I was a member of the Bridgeton Baptist Church. I got 47 pins of perfect attendance. Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Does he know you? Does he know me? Let me just say this right now. If he doesn't know you, you better make sure right now, at this moment, we repent and call upon his name for salvation. For it's with the heart man believes. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Some will say, well, I've done a lot. I've done a lot. Oh, no. You know, you probably get tired of hearing this, but I've been preaching here for a long time. What have I accomplished? What have I accomplished? Zero. I have not accomplished one single thing. Nor has any other preacher who has ever preached, taught, deacon, or church member who thought they were doing great things. Everything that is done in the New Testament church of Jesus Christ, it is like that song said, Christ in us. He does it. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which they should glorify our Father, which is in heaven, not us. We're just a workman. Our job today as pastors, as church leaders around the world in the New Testament church is to make our Lord and Savior look great. I heard that years ago. If you work on the job, your job and purpose is to make your boss look good. Some, if you look there at verse number 22 in Matthew 7, some even stood against evil forces in society, casting out demons. I'll be honest with you, I've never seen a demon. Now, I think I've been in the presence of several. I really do. I think I've been in the presence of several demons. I think we see it being that which is rising up in our country. Demonism. Some here we find in verse 22, he said, I've cast out demons. But they did it in their own strength. You look at the man, Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was a great individual with the rest of the 11, wasn't he? They couldn't see his true character, but Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning. Jesus knew who he was, and yet the scripture says he loved him. He washed his feet. Point number three, the catastrophe of eternal rejection. Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. The catastrophe of eternal rejection. You see, you know, I could go a long way on this. Eternal rejection. You've heard me say it many, many times. The Bible tells us there's an eternity coming, isn't there? Eternity. How long is eternity? Well, we don't know. I was listening to a scientist the other day, and he says, we don't even know what light is. We don't even know what it is. We know it has certain characteristics. We can divide it down into wavelengths and all of that. But he says, we really don't know what light is. I thought, well, if you don't know what light is, there's something wrong with you. I know what light is. God said, let there be light. It's a creation of God. We may not understand it. There's a lot of things. I don't understand how a tree grows. But I know it grows, and I know who gives it life. And I know you, too. I know the reason you're here, too. And I know the reason I'm here, too. By God's marvelous design and purpose, he has placed us in this world at this time For such a time as this. Let's stand this morning. For such a time as this. Three catastrophes. Empty believism. You can embellish your works. Boy, I've preached for 35 years. What a big deal. What a big deal. But there's an eternity. The catastrophe of facing an eternity without God. Now, I don't suppose there was an individual in this room this morning who didn't raise their hand. I don't know. I may be wrong. But if you didn't raise your hand this morning and you don't know for sure where you're going, it's time you decided trust Christ alone. Many will say, well, I was a member of this, that, and the other. I was baptized here, there, and beyond. In fact, I think the guy that I went to, one of the guys I went to school with, he says, I was baptized, I think, 37 or 39 times. I said, you were never baptized. You were never baptized once. Because you never believed what baptism was all about. It pictures in your life the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I've experienced that. And I trust you have too. So listen, don't starve yourself from God's word. Don't die on the vine. I won't ask you this morning how many of you have read the Bible clear through from cover to cover. There's probably less in here than you realize. Three catastrophes. And the one most dire is that last one, an eternal catastrophe of eternal separation from God. God knows. You don't have to share it with me. You don't have to share it with anyone else. At the moment, get saved. Ask God to forgive you of your sin. Trust Him for life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your words, difficult situation. And yet there are many. Your word says there are many, not few, many, that will say to you in that day, Lord, Lord, we did all of this, but we never knew you, nor did you know us. What a sorrowful thing to live one's life under the presumption of salvation. Father, I pray there's no one in this room like that, that we know whom we have believed, and He knows us. And we thank you for that privilege in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're going to have communion. I forgot to have communion. Sit down, please. All of you are sitting there wondering, what's he doing? Can I have the deacons come, please? I'll tell you what, I was really wrapped up in this message.
Good, sir.
So, you know what? I'm not going to say another word. I'm going to ask Kent to lead us in prayer. You would, please.
Father God, we thank you for the special time, Lord. We thank you for the picture that the devil is paying for us. Lord, it's a rescue. It's our deliverance. And it's a defeat over sin and death that it's only ours because of what your son did, his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. Lord, our salvation is not ours, really. It's the Lord Jesus' salvation for us. Lord, we just thank you so much for what you've done, what the Lord has done. And for times like this, words don't even seem adequate. So I just pray your Holy Spirit would be spreading the prayer of thanks on our behalf. Lord, just thank you, Jesus.
Amen. For a believer, the bread speaks of the bread of life of Christ. He is our life. He's the very bread that we partake of. And this is his body.
It's a picture of his body and a type. He told his disciples, take eat. This is my body broken for you. Shall we take together? Okay. I'll lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, again for this day and this opportunity to commune with you and what it means. Lord, thank you for the message that you do and knowing that, Lord, our faith, this faith is, and salvation is, and know salvation is. Lord, what a blessing it is and what a gift from you to have outcome to know. Lord, it's all because of what you've done here, Lord, on the cross. You're dying. There's a dying on the cross of our sins. Lord, we can need that. Right. Lord, so we just thank you again for this time, this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Aren't you glad the blood will never lose its power? The saving power of the blood of Christ. It's the same blood that saved those in first century and us in the 21st century and will save. The blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Shall we take together? Let's all stand this morning, please. It's the first time I ever forgot communion. It probably will not be the last as older I get. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, the privilege, the praiseworthy opportunity to come into your presence this morning and to thank you and to praise you and, Lord, to bow before you today with our hearts and saying, without you, we can do absolutely nothing. But with you, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Father, I thank you today for the privilege of being here, the privilege of sharing in your word, the privilege of being with people of like precious faith, the privilege of knowing that salvation is mine because of what Christ has done, not because of what I have done. He does it all. Father, I pray today that you dismiss us, and again, I don't want anyone to go out of this room today without Christ as Lord of their lives. He is Lord. He died, he rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living, your word tells us. What a privilege to call him Lord this morning. We thank you in his holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Shake hands, please, before you leave.
Yeah.